told you? Who did you just
Elliot say? Bocelli.
Oh, is he coming?
He might be doing like Galway stuff now.
All right, later. Okay, let's go. We'll just very quickly finish up a few details. We're in the middle of Kuf Peches, Maros Damim, and we had discussed last time the colors, and in addition, we had discussed changes. So first, there was that strange Bach that says, like, we have to suspect that a change in the bath, which we're not kosher for at all, and then we're in the middle of a few things at once. But let's go back to the more famous Bach, which is quoted in the Shach also, and which is quoted in the Taz, and discussed at great length, that the Bach says, if you see it wet, you have to wait for it to dry, because it might really be red. It just doesn't look red yet, and it'll turn red later. So, says the Bach, what if, at first, while wet, it is not red? Says the Bach, chayav lehamtin ad sheyabesh. You have to wait till it gets dry. Now, what two assumptions is the Bach making? Right, the Bach's making two assumptions. What are his two assumptions, Chesky?
Number one, that it can, in the Elabash and Rhodos, it doesn't just work right then and there. You have to wait to see, and then you'll have that ability to check. That's one. And then.
All right.
And the second one is that the color could potentially change.
Okay. I mean, you're not wrong, but. That's not the way I was going
to
go.
Or the sock you see at one time can change to a sock that you have to give at a different time.
Ah, okay, that it can change, right? Meaning that if it starts out not red and turns red, it's taka usser. Okay, what's his second assumption? First assumption is that if it would turn red, it would turn usser. Second assumption is that
dries
you have to be choshesh that it'll be turned red, right? That's basically two assumptions, right? He assumes A, if it turns red later, then it's usser. And B, you have to suspect that it might turn red. Those are his two assumptions. So now you could argue on him who disagrees with the Bach. That's a bit of a trick question. Because who disagrees with the Bach? Everyone disagrees with the Bach. The Shach and the Taz and all the Achronim disagree with the Bach. Right? So here's one sheet to the Bach. But, right, what did we say? Shach, Taz, and all the Poskim disagree. But what's the interesting question? Do they disagree because they disagree with assumption A? Or do they disagree because they disagree with assumption B? I mean, do they say, even if it turns red, who cares? Still water? Or do they say, Taka, if it turns red, it'll be usser? But we don't have to worry every day that it'll turn red, right? So, what's the lashon of the Shach? Now, this is a diyuk, but it's a good one. What does the Shach say? V'nire de'achzuke reyesa lo machzikinan. We don't have to suspect that there'll be something bad. What's the diyuk in that Shach? We don't have to suspect that it might turn red. But, if it did turn red, it sounds like it would be usser. Says the Taz. One second. We say, he says at the end also, we don't suspect something bad when we don't see it now. They both say, what it sounds like from that is that, tak, if it turned red, it would be usher, it would be gloy, it was dam. But we don't have to worry about every possibility in the world. You can paskin based on what you see in front of your eyes, and you don't have to worry about every possibility. This is as opposed to the Chacham Tzvi, who's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva Gimel, who says that even if it turned red, it would be mutter. So here we have two different pshatim. Says the other side, the Chacham Tzvi, says he denies A, and he says, even if it turns red, it's still mutter. Meaning, I don't care, maybe it will turn red. But it's still mutter. Why? Because when is it metame her when it leaves the Bein HaShinayim? When it left the Bein HaShinayim, it wasn't red. Right? Still mutter. Because it wasn't red. Bishas you'd see Mi Bane Hashinai. This says Mi Bane Hashinai. Right? Therefore, if it wasn't Rebbe when it came out of her body, then it is the Bach apparently thinks he blowing Milsa that it was always Dom. He says, no, it didn't used to be Dom. Now it turned into something that looks like Dom. Who cares? That's the Chacham Tzvi. However, we pointed out the Shach and the Taz really don't. Who agrees with the Chacham Tzvi? The Chavos Das and the Aruch HaShulchan paskins that way. Chavos Das, the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, it's a scientific thing. He says that really it's not red, but every color has different pigments within it. So really when it came out, it wasn't red, but even non-red colors have a little red in them. And then scientifically, as it dries, the white goes more to the middle, the red goes more to the edges, so the red collects. But that's not a glowing milsa, it was always red. That just means it had a little red in it that was invisible. And if you let a chemical process of drying happen, that red spreads to the sides. If you ever look at Maros, you see sometimes it's reddish on the edges. Because that's what happens. As it dries, the red parts go to the edge. I'm sure there's a scientific reason.
Why isn't enough to show us that there was red there? That we just made
aha! So I guess the question is whether that kind of red counts as red or not, right? He assumes a kind of red that's just mixed in with other colors, it, not nearly night, is not red. Well, Bach assumes, no, a kind of red that's there waiting to be seen, you know, is a red. I mean, that's just the machlokas. However, the Shvos Yaakov, and he quotes here the Shilas Yavis Mesopek, but he quotes here Shvos Yaakov, says the Shvos Yaakov, and that's where we're diet from the Shach and the Taz, right? He accepts A, but denies B. He says, if it turns red, then it's Usser. But we are not Choshesh that it will turn red. If it would, then it would be usher, but it's very rare. We're not really choshesh it'll happen. Nafkamina, and we pointed out, the Shach and the Taz really sound that way. The Shach and the Taz really sound that way, right? Because, what do they say? Mashmos of the Shach and Taz, because they say, lo maxikinan reyasa. Lo maxikinan reyasa means, we don't assume a bad thing will happen. They didn't say even if it happens, okay. The rule of Lomas Kikin Reyesa means, tak, if it happened, it would be bad. But we don't have to assume every bad thing will happen. So therefore, they really sound like the Shvos Yaakov. Okay, there's a big machlokas. Ad hayom hazeh, the nafkamina is obvious, right? Nafkamina is, what if you happen to notice that it turns red. Again, the whole thing won't turn red. Then it turns red later. But the edge will turn red. According to the Chacham Tzvi, it's mutter. According to the Shvos Yaakov, it's usser. If you happen to notice, it's usser. But it probably won't happen. It's pretty rare. It'll only happen 1% of the time. We don't have to worry about that. According to the Chacham Tzvi, even if it happens, it's fine. Okay, ad hayom hazeh, there are different opinions in the poskim about this. Okay, my Masorah from Rabbi Willig is, even though there are different opinions, he'd like to deal with Shach and Taz and Shvos Yaakov, it's Usser. And therefore, he says, when you see a Mara and it's good, throw it in the garbage. Throw it in the garbage. Don't go back and keep checking on it, because then you'll just drive yourself crazy. Just throw it in the garbage. You'll be done with it. Oh, how can you throw it in the garbage? Who knows what might happen? No one knows what might happen, but luckily we don't have to worry what might happen. He's not going to share.
How does this rule...
Generally what?
Or Mevarer Sveikos, if we can.
Okay, so Mevarer Sveikos means if we have like two possibilities in front of us. Lomasikin and Reyesa, at least in this sense, something might happen in the future, we don't have to worry about it. Mevarer Sveikos if we can Mevarer now. And even then, Mevarer Sveikos only if there's some reason to suspect both sides. If there's no particular reason to suspect one side, then we don't have to be Mevarer. But you're right, it's a bigger topic. Okay, Halacha Lemaisa, there are different opinions. Yeah?
Did that, like, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, to clarify, that he thinks that it's not blood, or that, and like, it just happens?
It's not blood, but that's not a biological definition, that's a halachic definition. Basically, the Bach and Shvos Yaakov versus the Chacham Tzvi argue on is something which has, everyone agrees, something which has red molecules which are never going to be visible is not blood.
Right.
Everyone agrees something which has red molecules which are visible now is blood. Machlokas is something which has red molecules which will become visible with drying Is that called blood or not halachically?
Right. But
Kaplan Tzvi says not.
It's not that they think it's something else other than blood.
No. I don't think so. I don't think so, at least. I mean, the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't think he talks in such scientific terms. Anyway, Lemaisa, there are those who pass like the Aruch HaShulchan, and then there are guys who go even further than the Aruch HaShulchan. There are some people, what does the Aruch HaShulchan say? If you see it now and it's good, and you see it later and it turned red at the edge, it's still okay. Because when you first saw it, it was good. That's the Chacham Tzvi. There are some people who go even further than the Aruch HaShulchan. They say, even if you see it now and it's red at the edges, but if you estimate that it used to not be red, you can act as if you saw it early and it wasn't red, and then it turned red and still be mitaharet. Okay, that's a big kula. That kula is not so mainstream, although there are some who, you know, practice that kula. So that kula is not so mainstream. What's more mainstream is one of these two shitas. Lamaisa, the shita that we learned from Rabbi Willig is that usher, Lamaisa, another mainstream shita, which is not how we possibly, but the mainstream shita is that if you see tahor and then see red edges, it's mutter. That's the Chacham Tzvi. A third shita, which is more radical, which you might see someone possibly, but is not so mainstream, is that if you just see red edges, it's mutter. If you have a little experience and you know these are the kind of red edges that used to not be red, that's a big kula, because Taki, you never saw it good. You're just estimating that it's good. That's not exactly what the Chacham Tzvi and Aruch HaShulchan were talking about. That's not a mainstream shita. There are those, if someone's besoris to paskin that way, then I'm not coming with tainas, but that's not a main, that's a big kula.
Well, why? I mean, at the end of the day, you hold that it's not, that type of red is not red that, you know, that's...
Yeah, because, but you're like machzik that something happened that you are just estimating, right? You didn't know that it didn't used to be red. You're just assuming that. So that's a big question. How luckily can you assume something used to look different than it did now that goes against the rules of Chazakah? That goes against the rules of Ein L'dayin al Masha Ein Avros, right? So that's why it's very radical. It's very radical because usually we're principled. Whatever it looks like now is what it used to look like and what it will look like until proven otherwise. So that's radical. Okay. Now, while we're talking about Ein L'dayin al Masha Ein Avros, let us just mention the discussion, the first Piskei Tshuva, based on the story in Daf Chaf Amid Beis with Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, that the Taz here also brought up. Rebbe had this strange maisa. He saw blood at night and it looked bad. Then he saw it in the morning and it looked good. And then he saw it later in the day and he said it was bad. And he wondered if he made the right decision or not, and the Gemara tries to figure out exactly what's the basis of his thought process. And the Gemara says like this, that first he saw it at night, it looked bad, so he thought it was bad. Then he saw it during the day in better light. I mean, this is how Rashi explains the Gemara, at least. In better light and in sunlight, and he saw it was really good. So he figured, well, I should go by the sunlight, not by the nighttime, and he said it was good. And then he saw that it kept changing throughout the day. Then he said, why? Well, Yigloi Milsa, that if it changed from morning to afternoon, it probably changed from night to morning also. I thought I just had better light, but I probably changed from night to morning. But therefore, I have to go with the night, because when I saw it first, it was bad. Okay, that's the story of Rebbe. What do we see from the story of Rebbe? We see from the story of Rebbe, what's the sort of diot from the story of Rebbe that's relevant that the post can discuss in the first Piskei Tshuva? Three things happen. They stick with the first two things. The third thing is too complicated, it's not such a common case. Two steps. At night, it looked bad. During the day, it looked good. And if during the day it had kept looking the same, if during the day it was stable, he would have said good. So what do we see from Rebbe? That if at night it looks bad and during the day it looks good, you can say it's good because of what it is during the day. Now, even though anyone who's worked with Myers will tell you that they often get better as time goes on. The red oxidizes or whatever happens to it. So normally if I see it in the morning and it's red, in the afternoon it's not red, it doesn't matter. When I saw it in the morning, it was red. The first time I see it, I paskin. That's the general rule. The rule is you paskin based on the first time you see it. But here there's an exception. Since he saw it at night first and he didn't have good light, then the daytime overrules the nighttime. So this is the story of Rebbe. Story of Rebbe is that normally, the normal rule is that if first it's tamei and second it's tahor, or first it's tahor and, well, this is the machlo. focus over here. At first it's tummy, and second it's tahar, it's tummy. That's the normal rule, if it was both during the day. Right? You have to go by the first thing you see. Day and day. If you see it twice during the day, you go by the first thing you see. And then you assume, okay, if it changed, you know, whatever. But if it is the story of Rebbe, first you saw it at night, and then you saw it during the day, Tameh and Tahar, then you can assume it's Tahar. Why? Because Igloy Milsa, that at night, you can't really be so much at night. Like day, you just get a better look than at night. So what you see during the day overrides what you saw at night. That's what seems to come out of the story of Rebbe. Now, the machlokas in this first place of tshuva is, was Rebbe sure it looked bad at night? Or did he just think it looked bad at night? Like, does this heter apply even if you were sure at night? Or only if you weren't sure at night? So that's machlokas in the Giva Shoal and the Sidrei Tara. Or, actually, even the Giva Shoal is not really so clear. This is the issue of the Sidrei Tara here. Says the Sidrei Tara, because even the Giva Shoal says the word Nidmeh. So we're not sure what he means. Says the Sidrei Tara here. He says, that's only if you thought, not if you're sure. If you're sure, daytime doesn't override being sure at night. But if you just thought it was true, then you can be Mekel. And we pass like the Sidrei Tara. The most Achronim is like the Sidrei Tara. This is only if you thought it was Tommy at night. Then you think it's at night, but you're not sure. So when you look at it during the day, it overrides it. And that's what happened with Rebbe. But if you're sure at night that it's Tommy, then you have to go by what you see, even though it's at night. And you have to say Tamei, okay, that, here's the Chiddush of the Sidrei Tara, if first was at night, and then second, you can put that next to there, was during the day, Tamei, Tahar, and you were sure that it was Tamei, then you have to assume it's still Tamei. Right? Because normally you have to go by what you see at first. The only exception is if you had bad light at first, and even that exception says that the Sidrei Tara is only if you weren't sure. Okay, so if you ever see something at night, you should be not sure. I mean, sometimes it's a no-brainer. But it's always good if you see something at night to say you're not sure, meaning to not be sure. And that way, you can look at it again in the morning and maybe get a better look, especially since, as we learned scientifically, you know, the most electric lights you use at night really are inaccurate from a halachic perspective.
What does it mean to not be sure? Like you could tell yourself you're not sure?
No. If it's like the reddest, like most nidadam you've ever seen, then you're sure. It just means that often, like psychologically, we like to come to firm conclusions. So if we think something, we convince ourselves to be sure of it. And that's often a good mita. Because you don't want to walk around never being sure of anything in life. That's not healthy. So what it means is that psychologically, usually, if we're pretty sure, we think something, we convince ourselves we're sure. And then you're going to remember being sure, and you're not going to, you know. So instead, if it's 100% or 100%, I don't mean you should lie, but I mean in cases where it's a matter of your psychology, it's always good to be unsure and not come to a firm conclusion and say, I'll look at it again during the day. Again, if it's a, you know, even borderline or close to borderline kind of thing, I don't mean you should lie to yourself. It's not like playing games. But there is certainly a degree of psychology here. In general, in psak, it's good to have the midah of being sure. Like most balabatim, it's one thing if a lamdan asks you a shayla. You know, most balabatim ask a shayla, they don't want the rabbi to say, well, I think every time, this week time, that week. They want the rabbi to tell them asr or tell them mutter, so they can go home and feel good about themselves that it was asr or mutter, and not feel like they don't know what they're doing. Balabatim want clear psak. So, therefore, it's good me as a posek to, you know, when you reach the conclusion that's worth relying on, to, you know, be sure about it. Except at night in Maros, then it's always good to be mesupik because, you know, maybe it's not so accurate and you'll see it again during the day.
Could you not look at it at night?
Yeah, I mean, usually if someone brings me art at night, I won't look at it till the morning. But, you know, sometimes, like, I might happen to look at it, whatever, they're, like, in a rush, or, you know, not they need to know right now, but they're pressuring me, or I happen to see it. So you're right. L'chadchila, it's always better to save it for the morning anyway. But even if you do happen to see it at night, you know, it's always good to keep your, leave yourself the option of not being sure. Okay. The what else did I want to discuss in this se'if? Okay, one or two things. Yeah, one thing. Okay, the Pesach Tshuva Gimel is is interesting. Worth pointing out, the Chassam Sofer is an interesting tshuva of a case where a wife showed her bedika to a chacham who says mutter, but the husband wanted to be machmer on himself. Does the husband have the right to be machmer in Hilchos Nida? After all, he is a mitzvah saying, a shibud of ona to his wife. So, interesting question.
The husband looked at it and he disagreed with it.
Correct. Correct. And Lachor, it's not that he disagreed 100% and thought the Chacham was totally wrong, because, like, then Lachor, he'd have to. Like, I mean, he looked at it and he saw what the Chacham said, but he said, you know what? I understand that psak, but for a Baal Nefesh like me, I should be Machmir. You know, the Hamish or B'Chacham, etc., right? The Baal Nefesh doesn't like to have to rely on judgment called Psakim, and there are things in the post, there are different opinions. The Baal Nefesh might want to be Machmir. So should you be Machmir in Hilchos Nida? So interesting. He says that, for sure, if the guy was always a Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik, then what do you mean? He was never Meshuvah to be Makel to his wife. She understood that she was marrying a very Machmir fellow. He says, even if not, yeah, ideally, you know, everyone wants their husband to be more of a Baal Nefesh. And really, when she get married, she was agreeing that if her husband becomes a Baal Nefesh, he could be more Machmir. And therefore, she has no tainas against her husband. He has the right to be Machmir. And he doesn't have to worry about his Sheba to his wife. Meaning, if he just decided to be Machmir on some new scientific theory that someone came up with or philosophical idea someone came up with, then we would tell him that's usher. You're Meshuba to your wife. But if he wants to be machmer and something that's a chumr for Baal Nefesh, then everyone always has the right to go up in Ruchnias. Okay, that is true. But in real life, I think there are two factors here. You know, A, there's the technical issue of the Sheba to the wife. And B, there is also more klali issues of shalom bayis, etc., and whether it's good for everyone in the long run. So I think we do agree with this Chassam Sofer that technically a person is not meshuba to be a mekel to his wife. He is allowed to become a bal nefesh who's machmir. However, in real life, one has to look at the big picture and see if this makes sense in the big picture. Then he doesn't have to worry about the shiba to his wife. But if in the big picture it's going to be bad for them, then we should not encourage them to be machmir. And in general, my masorah from Ray Willig is that, bizman hazeh, we live in a very, very complicated world, and it's not good to encourage people to be too machmir in these things. And therefore, even though the Chassam Sofer is right, in the big picture, one has to be very wary of encouraging excessive chumras. You know, you have to know what's an excessive chumra. But in the big picture, one has to be wary because it's not just the shiba to his wife. It's the general effects on the life of the couple, and that especially b'zman hazeh, when we live in a very complicated world, much more complicated than the Chassam Sofer's, one has to be very careful about. So, in general, we would not encourage people to. I mean, it all depends on the people, you know. But in general, we would not encourage people to have excessive chumras in these things because looking at it from a broad perspective, all the effects it has on people could end up being more negative than positive. Okay, sif base. This comes from the same daf in the Gemara, daf Chaf Amud Beis. The Gemara says that a woman has nemanus in Hilchos Nida. Nemenes isha lomer. Now, what is the chiddush that a woman has nemanus? The wife has nemanus. Let's start with that. So, the wife has nemanus. Nemenes isha lomer kazer ra'isi ve'avadativ. A woman is believed to say, I had a mara like this and I lost it. And if it's a kosher color, then it's okay. What does that mean? It means that, obviously, we don't expect the woman of lying. Obviously, meaning, at least so far, there's no discussion of whether we think she's a liar or a truth teller. Obviously, you married someone who you think is lying about everything. How are you ever going to live?
You know, obviously we think she's telling the truth. The question here is not whether she's telling the truth or lying, but whether she's making a mistake or she's judging accurately, because this is a judgment call. This color is the same as that. It's not honesty. It's accuracy. It's how good a judge of colors I am. So what does the woman say? She says, I had a mara, I did a bedika, and I lost it. But it's just the same as this other bedika. Or, you know, she goes to the rabbi's in his study, and say, I had a mara, I lost the mara, it looked like this. Right? I'll say, okay, sorry, Mrs. Greenbaum, that's not good. But if she says, no, rabbi, I had a mara, and it looked like this, I'll say, oh, that's an easy one. That's fine. If it looked like this, it's really okay. Now, most women don't remember so well. But most women will say, like, I don't remember exactly what it looks like, and they'll be afraid to anyway because they have Yerusha Maim, etc. But if the woman knows, I really remember what color it is. You know, it was this. I'd say, okay, that's okay. She's allowed to say what color it looked like, and we trust her. However, and this is based on Mefurish Gemara, I mean, the Gemara has a suffix, but it seems to be Chril Chumra. That's the case in the Gemara. The rabbi, she brings a mara to the rabbi, and the rabbi knows it's tamei, or he knows the suffix that he can't resolve. She says, no, I had the exact same color, and the old rabbi was betarif for me. But we see that this color should not be tar. This color is tummy. Or this color is a suffix that we don't think. Again, not a suffix that, this is a little funny, a suffix that we would trust this other rabbi on. But, you know, or maybe even, you know, not a suffix that we think is okay, but like we prefer another rabbi to help us out with. But a suffix that we really think is not, you know, likely to, you know, that we really think is hard to resolve. Really 50-50 suffix. So if it's really 50-50 suffix, then we question her. Not that we question her honesty, chas v'shalom. We just question her judgment of colors. After all, this color was like the color a month ago. I worked with the other rabbi. It's hard to remember what color was exactly like the color a month ago. And that's the achra of the Gemara. If it is, basically, what's the case? If, here we're talking about the nemanus of that woman. Right? Nemanus of that woman. The woman who has the shaila. What do we say? If the mare is not in front of us, then we're someich on her. After all, we can't see it at all. The only evidence we have is she said it was like this color. Then we're someich on her. Notice that woman. Someich aleha. In equating colors from memory. Right? That's the case. Say, I remember that I lost the mara, but it was this color. Or I had the mara, but it was like a different mara that I lost. But if the mara is bifaneinu, then our vision overrides her nemanus. Ein somchen aleha. If it looks good to us, we don't need to be somech on her. And if it looks bad to us, we overrule her. And even if it's masopic to us, we overrule her. Okay, that's the principles. The last detail here is, one or two details. First detail is the shach says, The shach says, if a woman has a mara and she could show it to a chacham, she shouldn't rely on her friend saying it looks similar to something else. It looks similar to something else. And the Pesach Tshuva quotes in the Shari Tshuva that she shouldn't, meaning, what's the case here? The Mar is Bifaneinu, Viv Bifaneinu is the rabbi. Yeah, okay, it's in front of the rabbi, right? Here's a borderline case. What if the mar'eh is kayam biyad ha'isha, but she didn't show it to a chacham yet, right? Ella al re'iyas ha'chacham. Does she have to show the chacham, or can she rely on her memory?
remember, not her memory of facts. Yes, no. Of course you can rely. If you can't remember what's up and what's down and what's yes and what's no, how can you live? Right? How do you know your food in your house is kosher? You remember buying it in a kosher store. But here's her memory that this last time was a similar color. That's a memory of similarity of colors, which can be a tricky memory. So, says the Shach, she cannot rely on her friend's memory, and adds the Sidri Tara and the Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Vav, she can't rely on her own memory either. So the answer is Shach plus Sidri Tara in the Pesachei Tshuvos of Katan Vav. She has to show the Chacham. She can't say, I remember this, the exact same shayla, same color as last month, the rabbi said it was okay. So why do I have to bother the rabbi again? No. Since she has the ability to show a rabbi, she can't rely on her memory and she has to show a rabbi. The Achronim will point out, that goes without saying, this is only when it's questionable. If it's obvious, that's ridiculous. If it's like totally like white or totally yellow, she can't say, well, I remember last time yellow was okay, but I shouldn't rely on myself. No, no, that's obvious if it's not a shayla at all. Otherwise, she'll be showing the rabbi. I mean, that's some women. They're like OCD. They show the rabbi every bedika, even if the cloth came out just as clean as when it went in. Okay, that's not normal. We don't mean here when it's not a shayla at all. We mean here when it is a shayla. She says, that's a shayla. But I remember the exact same shayla. Like, it's not obvious. But I remember the last time it looked exactly the same and the rabbi said it was okay. She can't rely on that because maybe she doesn't remember it's exactly the same as last time and she has to show the rabbi.
What is she miss about?
If it's red or not.
If it's similar to the other one, or if it's...
No, what I mean is, she sees it, and she says, this is a questionable color. I it's not obvious what color this is. You know, it's a brownish, which I'm not sure if it's reddish
but
or not.
She's sure it's the same color as last time.
Yeah, she's sure it's the same color as last time, and the rabbi said it was okay. I mean, last time, I had no idea how to judge it. But the rabbi said it was okay, and I'm sure this is the same color. If she says, I'm sure this is not red bichlal, then that's not a shayla. That's obvious. You know, and if she's sure it is red, that's all that she says. Taka, I have no idea how to judge this, but I remember it's the exact same thing as last month. The rabbi said it was okay. Okay, that's a tricky memory. If she lost it, we would rely on her memory. If she gave it to the rabbi, we would not rely on her memory. Question is, if she's in her house, does she have to go to the rabbi or not? That's what the Shachat Sidrei Torah says. She has to go to the rabbi. L'chatchila, if she has the ability to bring it to a rabbi, she can't rely on her memory about non-obvious colors.
So,
I mean, if she needs memory and not just looking at it.
Without getting political, the Yotze Halacha is trained by a rabbi to determine what...
Okay, without getting political, which is, you know, very hard, but the Pashup Shat mainstream Halacha is that rabbi is Lavdavka. It just means someone who's an expert and knows how to paskin these things. So even if someone is not an ordained rabbi, but they were trained in Maros and they're experts in it, maybe they're a man who's just not an ordained rabbi, or maybe they're a woman who's not supposed to be an ordained rabbi, then you can go to her also. That counts as a chacham, right? That's the pashup shot. I know there's a big discussion about this, but that counts as a chacham. So you can bring it to anyone who's an expert, even if they're a woman and they're not an ordained rabbi, then that still counts as a chacham. Although... Not most Yotzot Halacha, I'm not convinced, are trained. I don't think most Yotzot Halacha are trained in Maros. I mean, my wife's Yotzot Halacha. She does not paskin Maros. So I asked her once, don't you want to learn how to paskin Maros? Like a big rabbi offered to train her to paskin Maros. She said, no, I don't paskin. She says, if somebody asks me a question, the answer is obvious that I love the feeling of being able to help them and tell them the Halacha and sort them out and give them guidance and help them come and answer their question. And like, I don't worry because it's Pashut. But like with Maros, like it doesn't say so in a book. You have to... Judge. Says, I don't want to judge. What if I'm wrong? I don't want to be responsible for that in business, Shomala. So I said, okay, well, what do you do if you have to help someone? She says, I bring it to my husband. Let him judge. So I say, well, why aren't you worried about your husband? Don't allow him to do business, Shomala. So she said, that's not her problem. Okay. So Seder. I can handle it. I can handle it. I think I'll be okay. But okay, so she's lucky. So what if someone be you? That's a halacha. In the middle of Nashville, Tennessee, and there are no rabbis around. There probably are Orthodox rabbis there. In the middle of Oshkosh, and there are no rabbis around, and her husband's a garbage collector, and he doesn't know how to paskin Maros, and she does. Okay, then she can paskin the Maros, and she'll just do the best she can, and I'm sure it'll be okay. All right. The
other interesting question, though, is the Shach already brought up the issue of a different woman, right? Relying on a different woman. So what did the Shach say? The Shach says we can't rely on another lady who says, oh, this is something like what the rabbi, a color like this, the rabbi is matar for me. Can't rely on another woman. And the Sidrei Torah says, it's not another woman, it's her also. Right? It sounds like, from most achronim, another woman's demonis is the same as hers. The Torah Hashlamim says something very strange. It is actually quoted in the Pesach Chuvah Sifkat and Vav, and it's the Torah Hashlamim here in Sifkat and Hey. He says, what's true of another woman? Right? What's true of Isha Acheres? Right? And this is really relevant. I should have said this before I answered Yoni's question. What's true of Isha Acheres? Nemanos of Isha Acheres. So says the Shach that Lechatchila we suspect she might be misjudging the colors, right? And adds the Sidrei Torah, just like this woman herself. In which case, the Sidrei Torah is saying there's no special chiddush about another woman. Okay, l'chachil, another woman, we should suspect she's misjudging colors to bring it to a rabbi, just like this woman herself. The Torah Hashlamim, though, says a big chiddush. All the achronim disagree with him. If you open up the Darkei Tshuva here, you'll see a whole paragraph of achronim disagree. Says the Torah Hashlamim, he says something weird. Says the Torah Hashlamim, no, another woman? We suspect her of lying. Another woman, we suspect of mamish lying. He says, what's the case? Another woman comes and says, here, I'm taking out of my pocket another Mara. We can see it's the same color. And Rabbi Greenberg said this Mara was okay, so was yours. Now, there's no judgment call here. We see it's the same color. It's just, is she lying or telling the truth? Said the Torah Hashlamim, we suspect she's lying, we don't trust her. That's a tremendous chiddush. That's a tremendous chiddush. We suspect her of lying, unlike this woman herself. He says another woman has less nemanus than this woman. Of course, you don't suspect your wife of lying when she says something, but if your friend's wife told your wife it was okay, you would suspect her of lying. That's what he says. I mean, it does lekel mechashim atosu b'din yonos. We there's no problem that she might have made a mistake in judgment in comparison. We still don't believe her. We still don't believe a woman. Now again, this is lecha tiva, right? This is also lecha tiva. He would admit that it b'di'evit, if we had no choice, we couldn't bring it to a chacham. We suspect a woman of lying. She might be judging colors, and therefore you have to bring it to a chacham. Nemanis isha acheres lechatchila. If you could go ask a chacham, says the Torah Hashlamim, big chiddush. We suspect her of lying. We don't rely on Einecha Bisur if you go ask a chacham, and therefore we suspect her of lying, and you have to ask a chacham. We do not pass like this Torah Hashlamim. All the Echronim disagree. They say, no, Eid Echad Nem Bisurin is even Lechatchila. If an Eid Echad tells you something is mutter, it's not a question of whether you made a mistake. It's not a difficult judgment call, like what color is the same as what color, which is very hard. It's just either they're telling the truth or lying, then they're telling the truth. You don't have to go check with the rabbi. Eid Echad Nem Bisurin. We're talking about a firm woman, obviously. Eid Echad Nem Bisurin, they're telling the truth. You don't have to double check. And therefore, we passing against this Torah Hashlamim that if a woman, whether it's this woman or another woman, tells you a fact that's either true or false, then you believe her, l'chachila, you don't have to check with a rabbi. Only if she makes a judgment call about colors, then you trust her if you had to, but if not, then you go check with the rabbis. This is a big chiddush of the Torah Hashlamim, that we don't rely on a woman if you could go ask a rabbi. Obviously, you rely on your own wife, right? If she says, oh, the rabbi said it was okay, you don't have to bring it to the rabbi yourself and suspect she's lying, because of a suffer law. But his big chiddush is, you can't rely on a different woman, lechatchila, and you have to go ask a rabbi because you think she's lying. We say that's not true. We don't suspect for a woman of lying. If someone says something, and it's a fact, then we always trust them totally l'chachila. Only if it's a judgment call, then it depends on the circumstances, right? If there's no way to verify, we trust the judgment call. If we verified and found a different answer, we don't trust the judgment call. And if we haven't verified yet, but we could verify, then we also don't trust the judgment call, say the achronim, and we bring it to a rabbi. But that's only judgment calls.
Oh, yeah, what does the Tashman do with, you know,
He would say that, I mean, I'm not sure. He doesn't say. He doesn't say so much. Meaning he makes a diak from a gar. It's a diak like, oh, well, why didn't they give this other answer to their question? Which is always a weak diak. Like, you can always think of a million answers they could have given, and there's a million reasons that they didn't give it. So what's his svara? I think he would say that, look, he might say maybe it's a chumer drabana not to be so mech anashim b'makom de'efshel of ruray, or he might say like the famous, unless there's this famous Ravid who holds, or Shechter has a whole story about with the Sefer Becher David, it's in the Nefesh Chaim, in the Nefesh Harav, I remember the whole story, who says that when Eidach Bishurim doesn't apply to a woman testifying that somebody else's business. So I'm not sure. He doesn't explain his svara here. But you have to come up with a big svara, because after all, what happened to Eidach Nem and Bisurin? So you either have to say Eidach Nem and Bisurin doesn't apply to women, which then you have to answer a lot of things, or you'd have to say it's a chumer drabanan, which also you have to figure out why all of a sudden here, why here more than, you know, by kashrus. Okay, I don't know. That's why the achronim don't agree with him.
Also, when Neman's Vaishachar, when she brings, there's a factor of misjudging, so, there's only one sample there, right? Not two samples.
No,
not the sample of the.
No, if we have two samples, then there's no judgment call necessary. You could see if they're the same or not.
Right. So which sample's there? Which sample's not there?
In this case, maybe neither sample's there. In this case, there's no sample there. She has nothing, but she says, I had one this month and I had one last month, and they're both gone. But last month it was the same, and the rabbi said it was mutter, so it's mutter now also. In this case, we have this sample, we don't have last month's sample.
Right, I mean, in the.
In this case, we have both samples.
No, sorry, the.
This case?
Yeah.
We have this month's sample and not last month's.
I'm saying, when the.
The friend comes and says, I had one last week, just like that. The rabbi said it was okay, but I threw it out.
Oh, but the woman has her sample.
Yes. The woman has her sample.
Okay, and it's the friend who's saying it. Okay.
Right.
And that'd be the reason why this is different than like other feasts made after. We actually have a way of. Well, like if
except that usually.
No, if she like cooked dinner, you have no idea what she did and nobody else knows.
No, but, like, no, but that's not true. Like, even if you could check, we generally say that Echanem would be certain.
Then you can't. Well, maybe.
No, but usually, even if you can check, we believe in Echanem be certain.
Okay, so
as a general rule, even if we can check, we believe in Echanem be certain. Right? Someone comes to you and says, you know, I'm bringing this food from, you know, this from Yid's house. You don't have to call the Yid and check if he really sent the food. Right? You can believe them. So, that's the problem. Okay, last inyan. Just one very brief inyan, then we'll go back to learning. The interesting Pesachei Tshuva in the Shach at the end of Vav and the Pesachei Tshuva at the end of Vav. Also, look at that. Can a husband paskin his own shilas? Okay. Now, sometimes the husband might not want to paskin his own shilas for personal, psychological reasons, right? Maybe he'll just be too nervous, he'd prefer not to. Or, you know, for shalom bias, it's, you know, better for his wife not to, like, suspect him of being too machmir or too makel or whatever. Okay, that's your personal business. Everyone does whatever. If someone says, I don't want to paskin my own shilas, that's fine. I mean, that's perfectly reasonable. A person totally can do that. You know, for whatever reason. I don't want to pass my own shiloh because I'll be too nervous. I don't want to pass my own shiloh because I, you know, whatever. But here's the question. Is he allowed? He wants to pass his own shiloh. He's comfortable. Can a man pass in his own wife shiloh? So says the shach, no problem. Yecholiros to me ishto. He can pass in his wife shilohs. No problem whatsoever. You're allowed to pass in your own business. Now, here we're not talking about nemonis. We're talking about psak. We're not talking about lying and telling the truth. Obviously, you have to believe that you're telling the truth about your own business, otherwise you can't eat breakfast in the morning, because how do you know you're telling yourself the truth that yesterday you bought it from a kosher store? Right? The question is, if it's a psak is a judgment call. And it's even harder than what color is the same as what color, because you have to use halachic reasoning or judgment. So are you, what's the problem? It's like a shofet versus a dayan versus an aid, right? Of course you'd be made on your own business for Isurin. Even that, okay, in general at least. But can you be dayan for yourself? After all, maybe you'll subliminally be biased by wanting a certain result, right? Let's hope he wants the result of Tahar. But there are people who are in the opposite situation also, for whatever reason, if they have a bad marriage. Okay, and maybe he'll be biased to say the wrong thing. It's not the case. Maybe he'll be biased by Tahar because he wants a heter, right? So the answer is no. You're allowed to pass on yourself, not for Divi Mavanis Chas V'Shalom, but in Isra Heter, you're allowed to pass on your own Shaila, and we don't suspect you being biased, but we trust you to do a Cheshvan and Nefesh and remove the bias. Says the Chachmas Adam, quoting the Pesach Tshuva, that's only when you have Cheskes Tara. And Cheskes Tara here means not only like if she does a Bedika when she's Tahora. Even Shivan Nekiyam, if it's clear, is called Cheskes Tara. Because, that, or at least not a Cheskes Isser. Even Shivan Nekiyam, that's not a Cheskes Isser, because really she's going to stop, she's supposed to stop bleeding. However, he says, there's one case where you have a clear Cheskes Isser. When do you have a clear Cheskes Isser? Based on Tos Daf Gimel, if you remember Tos and Gittin Daf Gimel, he says, well, for bleeding, she's not really Cheskes Isser, because obviously she's supposed to stop bleeding. But when does she have a Cheskes Isser? For not toveling. Until she tovels, she's Cheskes Isser, because she cannot tovel forever if she wants. So what if there's a shaila about your wife's tefillah, about a chatzitza or something? So you can't pass on your wife's tefillah because of the power of Cheskes Isser. That's the Pesach of the Chachmas Adam. However, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan here, most poskim disagree with the Chachmas Adam. Almost no one disagrees with the Chachmas Adam. Most poskim say it doesn't matter if there's a Cheskes Isser or not. You're always allowed to pass on your own business in Isra Heter, and we never suspect you being biased. We trust you to overcome your bias. Halach l'maisa, we do not follow this Chachmas Adam. Halach l'maisa, we assume that a husband is allowed to pass on his wife's shailas, whether there's a Cheskes Isser or not. He can pass on her maros. And he can also paskin shaila zakon with tevila. He can paskin any shaila that affects himself in Isra Heter, whether it's about food, whether it's about nida, whether it's about anything else. And even Becheskes Isser, we trust him to overcome his bias and come up with an honest result. And that's the halacha l'maisa, that you're allowed to paskin anything you want, even for yourself, meaning even for your wife. If someone doesn't feel comfortable, then seder, they, you know, they can do that. You have the freedom to do whatever you want. For sure, there's some people who say, like, I feel like I'd rather have someone else do it, but seder. It's just like, or even if someone just say, I'd rather someone else do it because I don't want to keep second-guessing myself and being nervous. Because that's fine for psychological reasons. But halachically, it's perfectly okay to paskin your own shilas.
Is there, like, a minhag olam? Or will it have, like, a general shita, like, to tell them
I think
to,
most
or?
People do paskin their own shilas. Yeah. All I'm saying is that you don't have to feel bad if you don't want to. I really think it's perfectly fine. I think most people do pass their own shilas. Obviously, sometimes it's a really, really hard shila, so they'll ask someone else, which they might do for someone else. Obviously, everyone has their border beyond which they'll be nervous. But as a general rule, I think most rabbis are known to pass their own shilas, not like the Chachmas Adam, whether it's Cheskes Isser or not, and assume that it is perfectly fine. Okay, we will pick up, just short shiur to catch up a little, we'll pick up Emir Tzashem on Tuesday after Yontif with the rest of Simon Kuf Pei Ches, and hopefully getting into the beginning of Simon Kuf Pei Tes, we should be able to as well. Gemar Chesima Tova.
What's the end of the chapter? Here he says,